Hey, as you guys are finding your seats, could you do me a favor? Could you pull out your Bibles and go with me to Matthew chapter 22? Go with me to Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. We're going to be there. As you're opening your Bible, I want to encourage you, men of the church, our men's team. I've been really blessed to meet with our men's team, and we're doing some discipleship as a team. And we have a big event and then like a little quick event I want to share with you to encourage you. The very first one is next Saturday. We're going to go hiking, and then our crew is prepping a lunch at the Barry's house. And it's going to be good food, good time. You can come to either the hike, the lunch, both, you know, hopefully both. But, you know, whatever you have time for. And that event is next Saturday. And then we have, and we know that's a quick turnaround, so it's not like heavy pressure. But if you follow it on social media, you've seen it go out. Then the other event is May 17th, 18th, and 19th. We have our men's camping trip. This is just honestly an incredible time of life transformation and a relationship transformation here at Banner Church. So I want to encourage you, go on Church Center and sign up for that. And if you don't know what Church Center is, that means you need to come with to party with the pastor next week, and we'll get you hooked up. But if you're a dude, you haven't come to party with the pastor, you still want to go hiking, you still want to sign up, here's what I'm going to say. Come talk to myself, or let me see some of the men. See Marcus right here. We got James in the back. Gabe's right here. Mike's here. Wait, wave your hand so they see you. Oh, handsome dudes, where's Dave? He's in kids. Okay, if you're listening to this in the podcast, thank you, Dave, for serving in kids today. So go talk to one of them, and they'll hook you up with it. We want to get numbers because these boys like to cook, and you know they're going to overcook anyways, but we want to let them know. So, amen? Let me read scripture here today, Matthew 22, verse 34. You ready for scripture today? Yes. Are we translating right now, Robin, or I'm good. I can just go fast? Okay, good. Robin's leading a group starting on Tuesday. We're doing a Zoom call. And the next Tuesday, we're going out for a Love the Block street session in the neighborhood. And then another one. And then I think the next one after that, we're going to be at Christian and Sydney's house on Tuesday nights with our Spanish team and our neighbors. So be praying. And also, if you're like, I don't speak Spanish, but I want to come help you, come talk to me or talk to Robin. Robin, wave your hand. This is a nice thing. The size of our church, we can just point you. Like, look, Robin and Susie are incredible. If you've not spent time with them, amazing. Have Susie pray for you after service. Your life will change. She's awesome. Let's read verse 34, Matthew 22. But when the Pharisees heard that he, meaning Jesus, had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second's like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. This week, we're launching a new series called The Vow. We're talking about marriages. I don't know about you, but have you noticed that marriages are struggling? Maybe you've noticed it in your own life. Maybe you've noticed it in the world around you. And I really believe that this is not acceptable to God. This is not what God intended. God has so much more for marriage. And so at Banner, we're doing this series because we want to invest into building healthy marriages. And so if you're married, I'm hoping that this season and believing that this series is going to make your marriage stronger and healthier. And if you are not married yet, I'm believing that this, and you want to be married, I'm believing that this series is going to help you be prepared for marriage. Let's start with this. Ladies, how many of you, when you were little, dreamed about your wedding? How many of you dreamed about your wedding? Okay. Maybe your design, you had like a little vision board. How many of you dreamed about maybe the house you'd have, or maybe you dreamed about like the name of your kids? Did anyone really early on say like, I know what I'm going to name my kids? Be honest, women. Yeah, exactly. That's a girl thing. Okay. Yeah, you had dreams about marriage. Men, your teenage years probably had a different dream. Maybe dreamed of getting married, you know, have sex twice a day. Some of you are still dreaming. It's interesting how often our expectations of marriage seem to fall short of the reality. Because when we look around at marriage in culture, I think we'd have to admit many marriages are not working. In fact, the statistic that stayed the statistic for a long time is that 50% of marriages end in divorce. There used to be a statistic pastors would share with their church to scare them. They'd say, the divorce rate is higher in the church than in the world. Simply not true. Shame. What's interesting is I've been researching about why do marriages end. And there's multiple reasons. The top one, 75%, cited lack of commitment. The next 60% said infidelity was involved in some way. And more than half said too much arguing was the reason that the relationship, the marriage, ended. And that's just the top of the list. There's lots of reasons. Finances, like we know that one's on there, right? That's a big number, 50%, right? That means half the time, marriage does not work. People say, till death do us part, and they do not make it to the end. That is a horrifying statistic. Imagine that statistic in any other area of life. Like, let's say I told you on your way home, there is a 50% chance that you're going to get into a car accident. Yeah, some of you are like, we're not driving home. Yeah, I just heard someone say that, right? That's a big stat. I mean, right now, the likelihood that you are in a car crash on the way home is less than 1%. And yet, parents, how many parents do we have in here? How many of you would put your seatbelt on your kid? Okay, right? Less than 1%. But buckle, you're not going to lay them on the floor. It's like, well, in the 50s, we laid them on the floor. And cars were made of steel. Now they're made of plastic. Right? You'd put the baby in the car seat. You wouldn't bungee him to the roof. Right? Okay, what let's say we just changed it and matched the divorce stat. If I told you you're going to take your kids home from Banner Church today, there's a 50% chance that you're going to get in a car accident. How many of you'd bubble wrap your kids, right? You'd have those things like, you'd have all these packing blankets we have for the bands. You'd have bubble wrap. You'd have them in some kind of contraption that would keep them safe, right? You would be radically prepared. Here's what I'd say. The reason that marriages struggle is because they're not spiritually prepared. And if marriage is so important, right? Married people, marriage is important. Unmarried people, marriage is important. And if there's such a big chance you could blow it, should you not be prepared? But I think many people struggle because they're not prepared to live in a marriage that honors God. And God-honoring marriage is possible, but here's what I'm going to tell you. It's going to take a different path than the world around us. And so for the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at a few vows. I would love to take credit for these, but I'm not that smart. These come from a book by Jimmy Evans called Marriage on the Rock. You might have heard of this book. And from Craig Gashel through Life Church. And we've taken them and we've, you know, made them our own, but I like the way they laid out these four things. Let me tell you what they are. The vow of priority is this week. And then next week, we're going to talk about the vow of pursuit. How do we continue to pursue our spouses? Then next, we're going to talk about the vow of partnership, which is the difference between covenant and contract, and leadership and submission. I know, that's a word, right? Then we're going to have a guest speaker. Gary Webb from OCJ Kids will be here. And then we're going to end with the vow of purity. And here's what we're going to talk about. Where secrecy lives, intimacy dies. I know, good stuff, right? I promise it'll be encouraging. It sounds heavy. But today I want to start on the vow of priority. Say priority. There's a common cultural belief, and I think it comes from this very Disney princess fairy tale sense of life that to be fulfilled, you have to meet the one. Have you noticed this in our culture? You have to find the one, that perfect person that gives you the goosebumps. And she turns around in her hair, and all of a sudden, you hear music playing, and it feels like you're floating across the room. And that's the myth of culture: to be fulfilled, to be happy, to be content, you have to find the one. Okay, I love my wife, but she's not the one. Okay, hold on. She's my two. And I want to encourage you today that you need to stop looking for the one, and you need to start looking for the two. Not two people. But instead of saying I'm trying to find the number one, saying I'm trying to find my two. Here's what I mean. God is your one, and your spouse is your two. Let's go back to Matthew 22. We're going to read verse 37. You still with me? Amen? I shoveled 30 yards of bark yesterday, so I got to drink this coffee. It's all up in my lungs. And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and what? First commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Jesus says these are the most important commandments. There's not now just, you know, the Ten Commandments and he's reducing. What he's saying is everything that God has taught you is summed up in these two things. And immediately there's an order of priority. Say priority. Right? There's a number one and then there's a two. Number one is God. God is our first priority. He says, first you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You love him with everything. According to God, that is number one in our life. Love God. And he said, then number two is love others. This is the correct order of priorities. Love God, love others as God loves. Are you still with me? So to have a marriage that honors God, God is first and your spouse is second. God is your one, spouse is your two. You still with me? God is your one, spouse is your two. How many of you here, you're like, I really want to be married someday, right? Okay, here's a vow that I want you to write down. This is for you. I'm talking, you know, to married people, but you're here, you're like, I want to be married. Okay, here's your vow. Ready? I will seek the one while preparing for the two. I will seek the one while preparing for the two. Not I will seek the two while preparing the one. I'll seek the one while preparing for the two. Katie and I, we worked at a large church in Washington, and we led a young adults ministry. And, you know, there's, I don't know, 100, 150 young adults there, and we'd gather together and do these big events. And we were smart with our promo. We just, you know, there was a lot of really cool girls in the ministry, and so we put them on the promo, and then guys came. I don't, you know. Yeah, they're not dumb, right? And so one of the guy came one time, for obvious reasons, and he's talking to me. You know, he'd grown up Christian, and really walked away, was not living under Christian principle. And he came to me afterwards, and he's like fired up. He's like, "Oh man, I met, you know, so and so. Man, she's amazing. She's beautiful. She's caring. She's a leader. She seems so godly." I don't even know if he knew what that meant, but like, she seems so godly. And I loved the guy, nothing personal. I was excited to disciple him towards Christ. But I just had to tell him very gently and very honestly, she's not looking for a guy like you. Because you want a godly woman, but you're not a godly man. You want a leader, but you're not a leader. You want someone pure-hearted, but you're not pure-hearted. And there's a phrase that we would always tell people is, be the kind of person that the kind of person you're looking for is looking for. Be the kind of person. I'm not talking about be a chameleon. I'm talking about in character. Be the kind of person that the person you're looking for is looking for. You say, I'm going to live for God while I'm preparing for my spouse. Are we good? No spirit of offense in the house? It's amazing. We begin to speak the truth. I can talk about something far away, but when it comes near, we get a little offended. Right? Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that's present with us as we learn. May we not be offended, but may we operate in grace, knowing that we're striving towards you and we're just accepted even right now. Our current condition, we're embraced by you, God. I'm going to seek the one while he prepares me for the two. Okay, those who are married, here's your vow. I promise God will be my first priority and my spouse will be my second. I promise, you got to write this down. I promise that God will be my first priority and my spouse will be my second. Now, let's go to Genesis 2. In fact, let's jump there. Genesis 2. If you got your Bibles, jump there. If not, words will be on the screen. Genesis 2, verse 7. Back to the beginning. Verse 7, it says, then the Lord God formed the man out of dust from the ground. This is why we're always dirty. You can't blame us, ladies. He made us out of dirt.
This is what it is.
Come in smelling like gasoline and bark dust yesterday. Just doing what God made me to do. Can't help it. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east. And there he put the man who he had formed. Okay, jump with me. We're going to jump ahead to verse 18 because a lot's happening. It's the creation of the world. A lot's happening. We're going to jump ahead. Then the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I'll make a helper fit for him. Now out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called the living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So regardless of how good your dog is and how much your dog is man's best friend, it's not quite the helper that God intended, even though we love our dogs, don't we? They're great. Dogs are great. It says, so the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with the flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And the verse 24, everyone still with me? Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast. Your scripture might say cleave to his wife and they shall become one flesh. You're all adults. You know what that means. Therefore, man shall leave his mother and father and hold fast to his wife and they shall become one flesh. This is the foundation, the very beginning of marriage. It's a biblical covenant before God that is solidified and secured through an intimacy of the joining of flesh through sexual relationship. Verse 24, he says the word leave, right? Man shall leave his father and his mother. That really means loosen or relinquish. This doesn't mean that, if your parents come to live with you and you have them in a room and you're caring for your family, that you've not fulfilled your role as a husband. It's like you have to leave them, never speak to them. That's not what this is saying. This is saying that priority changes. Because growing up, your priority relationship is your parents. Your job as a child is to honor your father and mother. But when you get married, that priority changes. And you leave, you loosen or relinquish that priority, and you cleave, you hold fast to your spouse. And the priority changes from the very beginning. God is number one in the garden, and the spouse is number two, and they are united. Here's the problem. When you believe that you have to meet the one to be happy and fulfilled, and you believe that your spouse is that number one, then you will idolize them, but you will also demonize them. Right? They're amazing. They're so perfect. They're everything I ever wanted. Thank you, Lord. Ladies, you're like, he's so laid back. He just listens to me. He's so relaxed. Then you get married and you're like, he's so lazy. He's such a bum. Why don't you respond to me when I'm talking to you? You just sit there. Why aren't you talking to me? You idolize, then you demonize. Try telling someone in the idolize phase that they're going to demonize it and they'll leave your church. Men, she's so organized. She's so driven. Wow. She's so put together. Then you get married. This home is a prison. Where are all of my things? I can't put my feet up anywhere. Everything's beige. Set me free, God. Right? I didn't realize I smelled this bad. Now, in contrast to everything else that smells good, I feel horrible. Right? You idolize, then you demonize. She's always nagging me. It's like, I thought you liked that she always told you what was on her heart. It's like, yeah, but not now. Here's the issue. You're asking your spouse to meet a need they were not designed to meet. You're asking them to meet the number one need, a priority. You're asking them to fulfill and fill in insecurities that it is irresponsible to ask them to do. God is meant to do that, not your spouse. Your spouse cannot fix your idiosyncrasies, your brokenness, your trauma, your failures, your insecurity. That is not their place. That is God. Together you serve God, but only God sits in that number one place. Man, so many people when they're dating fall into this, right? You're finally waiting for a good one. You've been at church for like 4 years. Finally, a good one walks in. That's what you all believe. I'm just telling you. I had a young adult ministry, 150 people. Like, there's no young adult. I'm like, I have cheerleaders from the Seahawks here. You're telling me there's no attractive? I don't know. I don't get it. But what happens? You go head over heels, right? They take that number one spot. Come on, we've all been here. You cut out everything else. You don't serve. You don't worship. We're just building us. You don't go to community group. Then you get married, and all of a sudden, they don't feel that need. It's like, what else could we do? Let's have kids. And the kids go in the number one spot. But then the kids get older, or maybe the wife spends too much time with the kids. You're like, well, that's not doing it for me. How about my job? And the job gets the number one spot, but the job won't fill what God needs to do. And then what happens? You retire. And now what? Have you ever wondered why so many people make it so close to the end but don't make it in marriage? It's because they've run out of things to try to slot in the number one place. And they know that their spouse will not fill that spot. And now all of a sudden what comes in? Infidelity, arguing, fighting, divorce. Why? Because the relationship had the wrong priorities. Are you still with me? We're going off Genesis 2 here. You're meant to leave and cleave. You're meant to set priority. Just so no one feels picked on, I'll pick on myself. When I was early married, I've been married now, let's see, 15 years. We've been together for 20 years, which, you know, feels like a long time for me. Not to some, but it's a good amount. Feels like a long time to my wife. Keeps getting pregnant. But there was a time when I put ministry in the number one spot in my life. I remember it was December one year. We had just had our daughter. She was born November 11th, and we were trying to get in a building by December 1st. And the way we did it is not a lot of permitting, and we did all the construction ourselves. It's very dangerous and very bad. And so I would literally paint on these scaffolding, and then I would go into the basement, and I would fall asleep in one of the rooms that wasn't being, that we weren't painting anything in. And then I would wake up a couple hours later and go back to work. Which, you know, sounds like hustle. Oh, I gotta hustle. But I had a 4-week-old baby. And so that's a problem when your wife's like, hey, when you'll be home? And you're like, how does January look? And someone told me it's not always something bad that hurts a marriage. Often it's a good thing in the wrong place. It's not something, but ministry is good. Kids are good, but man, if they get into the wrong place of priority, it can hurt a marriage. And my wife was jealous towards the ministry. She's very patient. But I think there's such a thing as legitimate jealousy. Did you know that Scripture tells us we serve a jealous God? There's unrighteous jealousy, and then there's righteous jealousy. Here's the fourth commandment. It says, you shall not make yourselves a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven or above, that's in earth beneath, or that's in the water under the earth. So basically nothing. You shall not bow down to them. You shall not serve them. For I, the Lord God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. But showing, look at this, steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. When we put something ahead of God, it's called an idol. And God has a righteous jealousy for us. If you put anything ahead of God, he has the right, because of who he is, he's holy and righteous, that he can be legitimately jealous. Some of you might have experienced this in marriage. You might say, I am jealous of your time with the kids. Yes, honey, our kids are important, but if our marriage is not strong, we are not leaving anything for them. We are not raising them up. I'm jealous of that. Our kids cannot get all the time. We have to go on a date. Our kids, when I come home, I want to love on you and show affection to you to teach our kids, not have them dominate every moment. Some of you, you're jealous for your spouse's phone. We're laying right next to each other in bed, and that's all you can come up with? Some of you, you would have blessed lives if you took the television out of your room and you left the phone in the kitchen somewhere. People say, well, how am I going to wake up? I don't know. How did they wake up before their phones woke them up? I don't know. Ask somebody over 30. I'm sure they can help you. Dumbest excuse. And you had sex, and you went to bed at a decent hour, and you woke up feeling good, rested, ready to live your life. But some of you, your phone, if your spouse would be honest, if they could choose anything to get rid of in your life, it would be your phone. I'm going to say it for them. Here's what I'll say. Husbands, your wife does not like your phone. Wives, your husband does not like your phone. You do not like how much your phone controls your life. So I will just encourage you to say, maybe it's time to lay that down, because there's jealousy there. And I want to encourage you. This is the big thought. This is what we need to do, whether it's the phone or TV or whatever it is, kids. Here's the big thought. Ready? We need to protect the priorities. If you want to be married someday, if you're married today, God must be number one. Your spouse must be number two. Here's what I would say today. We're still in grace, right? How to love today. If you are struggling in your marriage, you can track it to this. You are not seeking God first. I've done all kinds of marriage counseling and programs and certificate, I don't know, all the things. And this is what it has come down. And I tell couples, you must seek God. I have never, in my 18 years of full-time ministry, I have never seen a struggling marriage where both individuals are desperately seeking God privately and together in prayer. I mean, and you can surprise me with it, and we'll figure that out. But I have never one time encountered that, where both people are privately, are you with me? Privately seeking God and together seeking God. It is extremely rare. You need to hear me say this. You must put him first every day. If you put God first, the second will grow. And here, I have some statistical evidence for this. You ready? 50% chance that you will get divorced. And I told you when you drive home, you have a 1% chance you're going to get in a car accident. Everyone feels okay. I mean, I ride a motorcycle. I feel okay with that stat. What if I told you there's one thing you can do in your marriage that will take you from 50% to 1% likelihood of divorce? Would you want to know it? Would you actually do it? Okay, we'll see. Here's what it is. Couples who pray together regularly have a 1% divorce rate. Then why are couples who are Christian getting divorced? Well, they're not praying together, I'll tell you that. I know this is upsetting some people, so I'm just going to keep going on it. Praying together changes your marriage. But here's the thing, you won't pray together if you're not praying. You won't pray together if you're not praying. What you want is for me to give you marriage advice. What you need is to go pray. You've heard enough sermons. You've read the Bible. Some of you are brand new to it, so we're just setting the foundation for you. Don't feel like you've done anything wrong. But I want to encourage you. And again, I'll be honest in front of everyone because I like that. Even last night, I'm like, we need to pray together more. Like, we have not found a new rhythm with this third kid, and we have another one on the way. We got to figure this out. It's work, right? We need to pray together more. I'm in the boat with you guys. I'm not saying, yeah, just pray together, dummies. That's not what I'm saying. Fair? I'm saying, listen, I'm married. I love my wife. I love my kids. My kids don't know anything about priorities. They believe they are number one priority. Try to tell a baby they're not priority number one, right? They'll just poop themselves and scream at you, right? They don't know. And we love our children. I said, we got to pray together more. And, you know, we pass each other in the hallway, we have a baby. And so we're like, we got to figure this out. But I remember when we do baby dedications. Proverbs 22, verse 6, it says this. Parents, train a child up in the way they should go. And even when he's older, he will not depart from it. What's the way they should go? Well, Jesus said, here's the first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And number two, love others as yourself. To raise them well, to fulfill what he says, train a child up in the way they should go, and even when he's old, he will not depart. We have to be living with the right priorities. See, we think training means teach them this, do this. No, it means show them how to live with the right priorities. If you want your kids to have great marriages, you need to protect the priorities today. You cannot go back in time, but you can start right now. God is number one, spouse is number two, and my kids, even though I love them, they're like three. I got a pretty good dog, four. We have to protect the priorities. Man, I feel more comfortable obviously speaking to you because I am also a dude. So here's what I want to say to you. Take responsibility to protect the priorities of your home. And women, I would say to you, let him lead you. Men, we're protectors. How many of you, if someone broke into your house, would just let them do whatever they wanted? No, good. We'd be having a talk. How many of you, if someone broke into your house, both barrels right at the front door, right? You'd be taking care of them, right? Yeah, come on, right? Yeah. It's the Second Amendment for a reason, right? I don't care, you know, whatever, wherever you stand on that, you nunchucks or whatever you got in there, just your hands. Rapunzel-esque frying pan, whatever you want to do. You're going to protect your family with everything you have. All right? That's the heart of Christ. Ephesians 5:25, what does it say? Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Christ loved his bride, the church, so much that he gave himself up. He gave everything. He laid down his life to restore us into right relationship, right priority with God. He gave his life to restore our number one relationship, which was with God. And I know almost every dude I know would say, I would die protecting my family, right? Okay, would you die for them daily? Would you take up your cross? Would you lay down your schedule? There's so many things looking to invade your home, men, and it's looking to steal away the priorities of your family. And you must protect your family by putting them first. Leadership in your home as a man of God is not domination, it is protection. I will protect my family from the things in the world that would come against them. So you bring your family to church even though you don't want to get up because you worked, right? You bring your family, you sign your family up for a community group to go and have community with believers, not because you have time, but because you're fighting for priorities. You take your wife on a date, not because you have money and not because you want to pay some 15-year-old an exorbitant amount of money to watch TV while your kid sleeps, but because you're fighting for priorities. And listen, I get it. I've preached this. People go, we can't do that, Pastor. We don't have any money. I get it. I remember making nothing, and I remember it well. And I remember Katie and I, we just like go to the park and hang out. Didn't matter. It's like, let's do anything. Here's the reality when it comes to relationships. If you're lazy, you'll make excuses. If you love them, you'll find a way. Can we just be, we don't need to beat around the bush in this sermon, right? We can just be honest, right? Lazy makes excuses, love makes a way. 100%. Put Bluey on the kids, on for the kids, lock the door, spend some husband and wife time. Like, what's that? Have sex. You're not having enough and not often enough, probably. Love makes a way. Go on a date. Spend time. Sit down and read the word. Find time for prayer. I don't have any time for prayer. Wake up early. I don't have time for prayer. Just read it on your way to work. You can find a way, and here's how I know, because God has given you a brilliant mind. I tell this to the guys all the time, like, you're successful, you're hardworking, you're an entrepreneur, you hustle, you make it work for your family. You are already doing this. Now just do it towards Christ. You're already working hard. You're already leading well. You're already fighting for your family. I just want to make sure we're putting things in the right priority. Lazy makes excuses, but love makes a way. And I want to encourage you, church, it's time to make a way. It's time to get the priorities right. Band, you guys can come up. Here's what I want to say. God has to be our number one, and our spouse has to be our number two. We have to take the vow of priority seriously. And we have to be honest. We cannot wear masks at church. I'm not talking about like CDC. I'm talking about fakeness. Everything's great, Pastor, until you read my prayer card. I don't want to come to the altar, Pastor. What will people think? Who cares? You're not here for them. You're here for God. I think it's time that we take that away. Men, the most countercultural thing we can do for our families is stand up for the priorities of God. Just say, you know, we're not going to let the world dictate what our priorities are. We're not going to let the world dictate that. This isn't my sermon, but I really love my brother Mike Myers because he made a really like focused choice to turn down some things in business over the past couple of years and spend time here to build community and be there for his family. And it's amazing to see his leadership and see how God honors that and see how God moves. And that was a huge step of faith. And I love that about Mike. And I've seen a lot of you, you know, do similar things, but that just really stands out that I love. That's a priority thing. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I would say, and Mike would testify, when you begin to walk in that and put the right priorities, God moves. Amen. Sorry, I'm not trying to call you out here at the end. Thank you. I saw your wife's jacket, and then you were right there. I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it, man. God's number one. Our spouse is number two. Here's what I want to do. Would you stand with me as the band plays? We feeling ready to respond to the word today? Good. Okay. There's a couple responses today. The first is always... as God is our number one priority, we at Banner Church every week, you can count on it, we're going to give a chance for you or your friend or whoever to receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. How many of you know that's like the most important thing? For God to be number one, he has to be Lord of our life. And so here's the first. I'm going to give one that you're going to respond right there. And then if you say yes to this, we want to talk with you. So don't wander out. Come talk to myself or Barry. We want to talk with you. And the second thing, we're going to come respond up front. So just be ready for that. Ready yourself. Introvert, stretch the legs out. Just be ready. It's okay. It's a safe place, right? Church family, safe. Sounds nice. First thing, bow your heads with me. Let's just get in the posture. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We thank you for your presence. If you're here and you would say right now, maybe this is for the very first time, or again, you've walked away, and you would say, Jesus is not right now Lord of my life, and I long for him to be. I need him as the Savior of my life. I need him as the Savior of my life, Lord of my life, to sit on that spot above my life, that I confess that I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved. And you recognize that Jesus is the one who came, who died on the cross, took your sins so you might be forgiven. You would say, yes, I want that. I need Jesus to be Lord of my life. I'm tired of trying to be Lord of my life. I need Jesus to be Lord of my life. That's you, and you're saying, okay, I'm sitting God on the throne of my life today. Would you lift your hand? Maybe it's the first time or again, you say yes to Jesus. Pray for you, and then when we do the altar call, I want you to come find Pastor Barry. Pastor Barry's going to be down here. He's got this great plaid shirt on, and he's going to pray with you. God, I thank you that if anyone's in you, your word says they're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So we thank you for new life in Jesus Christ, that we confess our sins. We say, thank you, Jesus, for taking the wrath of our sins on the cross, for dying for them, for rising again on the third day and bringing us resurrection life. And so today we confess our sins before you. We confess you as Lord and Savior of our life, and we receive the salvation that comes from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, here's what I'd say. Today, the response is to take a step because it's an action item. And if you're here with your spouse, you need to let them go and do their thing because it's the number one priority we're working on. It's the number two priority that's going to come into alignment when the number one priority gets right. Are you with me? It's the number two priority that will grow. So don't be like, we're going together, we're holding. No, they got to go or they got to stay. It's whoever it is. But today I feel like we need an altar moment. Just like you walked forward to the altar when you got married, you remember that? And you said, before you, Lord, we recognize your lordship, and I recognize our covenant. That today you need to come forward and have a moment where you say, God, maybe for the first time or again, you say, God, I set you as my number one priority. If there's things that have been coming in between that number one priority, you need to just lay them down and say, God, I give those to you. And I set you as, are you with me? My number one priority. And then very honestly to say, and I set my spouse as number two. Whatever that is, and to begin to set free. And if you're here and you're like, I'm not married, how do I respond? Here's how I would encourage you. If you're saying, I'm preparing for my two, but I really need to set God as my number one. This is for you too. It doesn't matter your relationship status this morning. If we're in that place saying, God, I'm going to set you as number one, whatever it is, I'm laying it down and I'm setting you as the number one spot in my life. Are you with me? Do we understand? Okay, I'm going to pray for you, then I'm going to release you. Here's what I say. Men of God, don't wait to establish a vow before God and to stand on the firm foundation of the Word of God. Let me pray. God, I thank you this morning. I thank you that as we come to you, we're made new, we're made whole, we're refreshed by your Spirit. So as we come today to make a stand, to bring our physical posture in alignment with our heart posture, and to submit it and lay it before you on the altar, I pray, God, that you would lead us, guide us, convict us, strengthen us, renew us, whatever it is, so that we have right priority, and so that marriages will flourish, so that our priority is right. God, if we have not been seeking you, I pray right now, convict our hearts that we would come down and say, yes, God, I seek you above all things. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. If you're ready to make that vow a priority, just come forward and begin to speak to him and say, yes, God, I put you as number one. Come forward now.
Thank you for listening to the Banner Church podcast. We hope this message was impactful for you. Check the episode notes to visit our website, follow us on social media, and subscribe to our podcast. We'll see you again next week.